Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome. Here we are again. This is the Community Love Power Show. Ya Elohim. That was Burning Spear, Slavery Day. That was a live version. I'm so glad you're here for this evening's program. We are definitely going to have some powerful, transformative, and inspiring information. Not just information, but connection, because this is the Community Love Power Show, and it's all about the love. I am trusting that you were able to tap into last week's program where we started this conversation, because this is the 151st commemoration of the Morant Bay Rebellion. So what's that all about? Listen to last week's. Just go to our show page, blogtalkradio.com/dimensional-healing, and get part one. We're going to have part two for you this evening, and we are going to have our co-host come in just a few minutes, Dr. Jata Rahim, and we are going to continue the conversation about the Morant Bay Rebellion. I'm going to start with just a short review of it, that just to bring us up to speed for about 4 minutes, and then we will launch into today's programming, including Dr. Jata Rahim. So thank you. Listen, this is Morant Bay Rebellion from History Uncovered YouTube.
This is Jamaica's History Uncovered. Paul Bogle, a Baptist deacon, is remembered for his role in the Morant Bay Rebellion. His date of birth has been estimated between 1815 and 1822. He lived in Stony Gut, St. Thomas, just north of Morant Bay. Whilst many people in the area were small farmers and laborers, he was successful, well-educated, and owned about 500 acres of land. He was eligible to vote at a time when there were only 104 voters in the parish of St. Thomas, due in part to the large voting fee in order to participate. He became a supporter of landowner and politician and fellow Baptist George William Gordon. In 1864, Gordon made Bogle a deacon in the Baptist Church. As social injustices and people's grievances grew, Bogle led a group of small farmers 45 miles to discuss their grievances with Governor Eyre in Spanish Town, but they were denied an audience. This left the people of Stony Gut with a lack of confidence and deep distrust for government. This, while Bogle's supporters grew in number. The beginnings of the Morant Bay Rebellion first started on October 7, 1865, when Bogle and his supporters attended a trial for two men from Stony Gut. A black man was put on trial and imprisoned for trespassing on a long-abandoned plantation. One member of Bogle's group protested in court over the unjust arrest and was immediately arrested, angering the crowd further. He was rescued moments later when Bogle and his men took to the market square and retaliated. The police were severely beaten and forced to retreat that day. On Monday the 9th, warrants were issued against Bogle and a number of others for riot and assault. The police arrived in Stony Gut to arrest Bogle, but met with stiff resistance from the residents. They fought the police, again forcing them to retreat to Morant Bay. A few days later, on October 11, 1865, there was a vestry meeting in the courthouse. Bogle and his followers, armed with sticks and machetes, went to the courthouse. The authorities were shaken, and a few people in the crowd threw stones at the volunteer militia who fired into the crowd, killing 7 people. The crowd retaliated and set fire to the courthouse and nearby buildings. When the officials tried to leave the burning building, they were killed by the irate crowd outside. The reprisals came quickly. The troops destroyed Stony Gut and Paul Bogle's chapel. Bogle was captured by the Maroon militia and taken to Morant Bay, where he was put on trial and hung at the burnt-out courthouse. Gordon was taken by boat to Morant Bay, where he was tried for conspiracy and hung on October 23, 1865. In total, over 400 black residents were killed and many more flogged for their participation in the Morant Bay Rebellion. Back in Britain, there was a public outcry. there was increased opposition from liberals against Eyre's handling of the situation, and by the end of 1865, the Governor Eyre case had become the subject of national debate. In January 1866, a royal commission was sent to investigate the events. Governor Eyre was suspended and recalled to England and eventually dismissed. Jamaica became a crown colony, being governed directly from England. The Eyre controversy turned into a long and increasingly public concern, dividing well-known figures of the day, and possibly contributing to the fall of the government of Lord John Russell in 1866. The Morant Bay Rebellion turned out to be one of the dividing points in Jamaica's struggle for both political and economic enhancement. Bogle's demonstration ultimately achieved its objectives and paved the way for the new attitudes. In 1969, the Right Excellent Paul Bogle was named a national hero, along with George William Gordon, for their roles in paving the way for social justice and equality.
And so there we have a short review of what the Morant Bay Rebellion was, was all about. And we are going to actually move forward from this point. One of the things that I had wanted to point out is that the current information, because the narrator on that particular clip was referring to over 400, but the current information is over 10 times, almost 20 times that amount of people. So you want to continue to listen because, you know, right now they're saying 7,000 people and 1,000 homes were destroyed in St. Thomas, according to Paul Bogle's great-grandson, Constantine Bogle, who we will be hearing from via clip on this program in just a few moments. And in order to bring the conversation into the present, because that was the year 1865, we wanted to see what's going on now in Jamaica, in Stony Gut, you know, in the area where Paul Bogle lived and died. So actually, there has been a lot. There's a movement rising up in that area that is so inspiring, and we're going to talk more about that. We also have information about something that's going on the land where Paul Bogle's chapel was, and this is a monument to Paul Bogle on the site of his former chapel. Let's listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again. We're down in the belly of the beast. We're now in to Stony Gut itself. To my left is Brother Constantine Bogle, the great-great-grandson of Paul Bogle. Brother Bogle, welcome once again. My brother, what is your name, sir?
Son of an Edwards, caretaker.
Mr. Edwards, you're the caretaker of?
Stony Gut.
Of Stony Gut.
Yeah.
What does this cross represent?
Well, this cross is just a marker to show where the chapel used to be. This is the spot where the chapel used to be.
Yes.
As you know, Paul Bogle, it said that Paul Bogle was a Baptist deacon.
He was a Baptist deacon, yes.
So this is where his chapel used to be. That's what...
This is what is left of the chapel.
Of the chapel. As you can see, the replica of a step.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is a replica of the step?
Step, yeah. That's what the main entrance.
This is the main entrance to
the chapel.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you are the caretaker. How long have you been here?
Well, I've been here for over 15 years now.
You've been here for over 15 years. I know you must have feel the spirit of our great leader, Paul Bogle, from time to time.
Well, a lot of time, especially when the place is clean and you have that tranquility. You hear the water running, the birds. It's a wonderful and beautiful scene and something to behold. It's
okay.
Only a pity that more attention is not being shown to this place.
Well, this is what we're doing now. We're broadcasting this to the world. This will be shown on YouTube. And of course, our elders, our Rasta elders here. What is your name, brother?
Daniel.
Brother Daniel.
Yes.
Welcome to Holy Ground. We're going to now move with Constantine Bogle. You're going to talk to us as we leave. Go ahead, Constantine.
We're going across where Bagan is buried and into the...
Who is Bagan?
Bagan is one of Paul Bogle's grandson.
One of Paul Bogle's grandson was buried here.
Yeah, our great grand was buried right over here. So we're going over there.
So we're actually now walking the steps where our great freedom fighter Paul Bogle walked in the year 1865.
Yes.
Now this is, I can feel the spirit of my ancestors flowing through my body. Explain to me, Brother Constantine, some more. As we go up these steps, what is going through your mind?
Well, it's a feeling of fulfillment, you know, because tonight we'll be doing an honorable thing.
Yes.
You know, to do the lighting of the candles and hold the vigil, like Paul did from 6 in the evening to 6 in the morning. You know, I mean, that's a very serious spiritual thing we are doing here.
Yeah.
And it's a spiritual ground. So I think it's a great feeling, you know, it's a honorable thing that we are trying to get done.
Yeah.
You know, we're just glad that you are able to come into Stony Gut and let people get a chance to see what Stony Gut has to offer.
Okay, where do we go from here?
We're going straight up to where you see that.
The monument.
The monument is. And behind the monument,
yes,
you will see a tomb.
Okay.
And that tomb is Bagan.
Okay.
You know, so that is where we're aiming for right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the time is now. What time is it now, Brother Bogle?
I think it's getting up to 6 o'clock. We are a bit late, but we will be giving
some. Can you give me the exact time?
The exact time, 5:40.
It is now 5:40, ladies and gentlemen. Picture yourself in the year 1865. This is what this time of the night would look like. And as we come to the sepulchre, not a sepulchre, but this is a monument. It says, here
was located the chapel and house of National Ear, the Right Excellent Paul Bogle. It was from this spot on October 11, 1865 that Deacon Paul Bogle led his people to Morant Bay to protest against the oppression.
This is
from the humble Jamaicans by plantocracy.
Wow. Yeah. Brother Bogle, I want you to stand right next to this monument. I want you to touch it, because this is where it all started. See, a lot of people don't understand. As Marcus Garvey said, a race of people that don't know their origin, their roots, and their culture is like a tree without root. Brother Bogle, you're a symbol for all of us, a symbol of strength, a symbol of greatness, to know that our hero still lives in you. What would you like to say to the rest of the world at 5:45, minutes before the candlelight vigil starts?
Well, I want to say to the world that we are hoping that, you know, we can turn a new day into Jamaica and into the world, like Paul Bogle did. You know, everything happened through inspiration, through the Almighty God, and we must ensure that people know that what we are doing is a calling, something that they are choosing to do. Because we could never do this without the Almighty God call us and give us the strength to do what we are doing. We're hoping that people will come to the understanding that real people lose their lives. Real human beings, some 7,000 real human beings died in St. Thomas. Some 1,000 houses burned so that we can enjoying the level of freedom that we are enjoying today. We may not have it the way we'd want to have it yet, but it is coming. But we must recognize those that paid the ultimate price, those that gave their life so that we can have what we have today. Because the Almighty God said, if you don't recognize him, he will never recognize you. So if you do not recognize the ancestors, then the ancestors will not recognize you. What I am seeing in Jamaica today is that a lot of people that are able to accomplish something of their life, mainly those that have been through tertiary institution and make academic achievements, they are so proud that they cannot acknowledge, embrace their ancestors. It's like a person, mother was a higgler and she sell at Coronation Market grown and at Redemption Market and send her to school or send him to school and him become this famous lawyer and him don't want nobody to know say well his mother is a higgler or is higgler in his mother though because him look down suddenly him becomes too proud to identify himself with his history. So for too long, you know, the other day, like I said, the other day we have celebrate Jamaica 50th anniversary. No mention is made of the blood sacrifice of these people. And that to me was an insult, a slap in my face as a descendant of Bogle. Because I can't embrace that. No man can't ask me if he embrace not recognizing the truth. Because if it was about that, I mean, Paul Bogle would not have made the sacrifice that he have made. Because it's not like he was in need of anything. It's not like the Bogles was in need of anything. We were probably the richest black people in Jamaica. So we never have to make that level of sacrifice what we make. So I can't take side with an administration or a government simply to do things that I know that is not in the best interest of this country. Because I see myself as a patriotic Jamaican and I put Jamaica before politics. You know, so that is my few little words that I want to say for right now.
As we join here with Brother Egerton Newman from the Jamaica Association of Taxi Operators, we welcome you, sir. What would you like to say standing here on holy ground?
I just want to let you know, my brother, that I've left Kingston. I leave my decks and my chair to travel here to St. Thomas, many miles from Kingston capital, to share in this vigil tonight and a march from here, Stony Gut, right beside this great man, to Morant Bay. One thing I want to leave with everybody in Jamaica, and especially the Ministry of National Security, I would like us to reflect deeply on this man and what he went through and call upon the Minister of National Security, the Honorable Peter Bunting, to seriously consider changing the name police force to police service. I want to deeply reflect of what happened to this man by the police force on its inception right here in St. Thomas. Change the name from a police force to a police service in remembrance of today, the anniversary of the Right Excellent Paul Bogle.
Thank
I
you very much.
I stand at the head of the transport group calling for that, and let us continue to call for that until we change from a police force to a police service. I'll say more tomorrow.
Brother Newman, you can honestly...
And so, that was Constantine Bogle speaking, the first part, about the Morant Bay Rebellion, and that's right current. That leads us right into our co-host, Dr. Jatta Rahim, for whom I've opened the line. Greetings, Dr. Jatta.
Greetings, Mama Yah. Greetings.
Well, thank you for being here this evening. I really appreciate your time. I am trusting that you just heard that last clip there from Constantine Bogle, and I thought that'd be a good place for us to launch in because, you know, he brought it right up to the present, even with the gentleman who spoke at the very end, you know, to acknowledge the sacrifices that have been made. What's your take on the legacy of the Morant Bay Rebellion and really anything you want to share? Because, you know, I just kind of glossed over it with some clips, but what would you say is really important about the Morant Bay Rebellion? Let's start with that question.
Many, many, many things. I think we have to look back to find meaning in the actions of our ancestors. They didn't just do things to lose their lives. They exhibited high qualities of human dignity and consciousness. And they were a people who not only spoke of acquiring rights, but put their life on the line to gain personal freedom, economic freedom, cultural freedom, all the things that we have today that we sometimes take for granted. A lot of the ancestors put their life on the line, as they did in the Morant Bay situation. So in concluding from that, we have to look at the lessons that we can learn from that. And then we have to somehow, as we were speaking the other day, the grandmas with the babies on their laps should be disseminating these qualities from the Morant Bay to the younger youths. We can't leave it for the mainstream propaganda machine to do that. They're never where they should be, really in the heart of the situation. News is entertainment, and it's driven by money. So to keep the Morant Bay sacrifice current, we, the average person, people, have to learn more about it, learn more of the lessons we can take from Morant Bay, and disseminate that onto the youths on a cultural way. In the United States, go ahead.
Hold that thought, please. I want to know, well, what are some of the lessons that were learned from the Morant Bay Rebellion that we would pass on to the grandbabies in our laps, or our babies, or, you know, other people in the community? What were some of the lessons?
Some of the lessons will be personal freedom of the individual, which means you are the one that's going to be determining your success, your thinking capacity, number one. That's one lesson from the Morant Bay Rebellion. People were under the thumb of the British government. Unless you can free your mind and realize that you fear none, you will always be under the thumb, because had the people thought about the retributions that would have happened, they wouldn't have stood up for their rights. So one of the great lessons is things that are deep in the heart of the individual, personal liberty, personal freedom, wanting for your brother what you want for yourself, these are the things that you have to be in a position to defend at all costs. Because without these things, you have no humanity. You may have a job and you may be successful in business, but you have no humanity. You have no feeling, no empathy, nothing like that within you. Many, many lessons Morant Bay taught us. It taught us how the methodology of pursuing something, how the people took every precaution they could in the most noble way, letter to the Queen, letter to Governor Irie, walking to Spanish Town and back, slamming the door in their face. They didn't give up. Rejection wasn't a part of their game. They were still holding their God-given right as to be free people. Many, many lessons. Steadfastness. Again, Paul Bogle was a rich man. He didn't really have to come down and pick up the mantle of the suffering people in Jamaica. From what I understand is, he had shoes. He took off his shoes, tied them together, and threw the shoes over his shoulder, marching to Morant Bay with the people, because most of them didn't have shoes.
Mm.
So tremendous, yeah. Lessons we could learn from this if we take time to really analyze just the personal lessons from the people. We're not talking about the global lessons that were learned, you know, how William Gordon's death as a magistrate was an illegal death, and that they hanged the man because of association and political intrigue. What that was a major thing in England that caused an investigation into the Morant Bay situation. So the character, and these are people that we know about. We're not talking about Moses Bogle. We're not talking about the other 500 to 1,000 people that lost their life, that marched. You know, what exactly were they thinking? We have to get back and really, really grasp out and feel these real people that put their life on the line to establish some type of equality, some piece of land to farm food that we could eat. You know?
Yeah.
After 200 years of working without wages, they still went through the proper channels of asking the authorities. And after all of that rebuttal and that refusal, the human spiritual light within them had to go off.
Yeah.
And they had to get up and stand up and don't give up the fight. So, yeah, many, many lessons. Many lessons we could learn from that. Steadfastness, going along at all costs, courage. And these are great things for a nation to learn. Actually, the world should know about people like Paul Bogle, people like Two Cent Overture, people like, I'm thinking about the man in the United States.
Nat Turner.
These are people that uphold the constitutions of the countries they live in. These noble words. Nat Turner was fighting for equal rights. Nat Turner was fighting for liberty. But he's maligned as being some terrorist. You know, the whole paradigm has to change in the world. We have to change that up. The young people have to rewrite his story and write the people's history. That's going to be for the young people to do.
Yes, our story, because the story is already always written by the victor, is a common cliche, but truism, but it's also true. And that kind of segues me into the question about, kind of a redundant question, but I noticed in the preparation of this program, and you see the literature out there, there's actually a debate about Paul Bogle, whether he was a freedom fighter or a terrorist. And I was absolutely... I was somewhat surprised by that a debate of that nature could exist. But what's that about? Is it? I guess it's like the Nat Turner situation that you were just alluding to.
Yes, and who would be the ones now that would organize a debate? These are these people who vis-a-vis have these degrees or have political interests. These are the people that are saying that they're the spokesperson for the nation. I don't know who elect these people to be this. They have to get down, get off that horse, and get down to the people with boots on the ground. You know? Let the people on the ground talk about this. Who are these people? That's what I would like to know.
Well, as Constantine Bogle said, those who, and definitely not maligning anyone with degrees, because, that's not the point of this statement. But those who separate themselves from the people through the acquisition of some type of status in the mainstream society, so people can forget where they come from. So then it becomes an analysis, something to talk about and have a panel about, et cetera. But if no action comes from that, that's why I like this movement. I'm really moved by, I'm so glad that this topic, that you have brought this topic, Dr. Jatta, because I'm really moved by its all components. It's a highly spiritual movement, and the fact that they have been doing the candlelight vigil for the past 2 to 3 years in Stony Gut this time of year really inspires me to want to be a part of that, because it does keep the freedom fighter movement alive, and it does acknowledge, as Constantine Bogle is saying, 7,000 people lost their lives in this rebellion. That's a lot of people, and out of a population of 22,000, that's 1/3 lost their lives. So
whole villages burnt, over 1,000 homes were burnt. devastating.
Yeah, so, you know, we want to remember and acknowledge and provide to our ancestors, because these are our ancestors, acknowledgement and thanks, you know, to our ancestors for the sacrifices that allow us to be here and have this conversation right now. I'm just going to go a few minutes. I've got this Constantine Bogle. He's such a powerful speaker. I have this info. I'm not going to do the fullness of it because it's rather lengthy, but I wanted us to hear a little bit of what he had about at the UNIA, Dr. Jatta, and then we're going to come in and get your commentary on this.
But it must have to be something seriously wrong for a rich man and a church leader to walk off the altar and go through them and them. So why we don't want to look into what was the condition that exists that caused this man to walk out of the church? We have discussed what happened, but we now discuss the condition that exists and what black people was going through. So I heal Paul Bogle and will continue to heal him, because I see that in life, because he knows him about death in return. Right? And the death of Paul Bogle, every Bogle in that runway would not get chance again. We'd have to live a bush life wild animal.
Okay.
In 1962, when them come and said them have to put up statue of Paul Bogle, every Bogle gallop again and go in a bush. Now take no check. Because they don't know where them have gone left for. So every one of them gallop and my father gallop. My father tell me, say, in a few days when I go to school, if anybody from Ministry of Education is coming to school, they must take every Bogle out of school. Every man when he and Bogle and can go hide them. Because it was illegal. Queen law. It's illegal to educate any Bogle. The Bogle family is the only family from God earth with Queen Victoria. Anyway, you catch one of them, put out them seed back.
What are we doing?
Just carry it then.
Oh no.
Because them man them, and he said set a man them. Why? Because what Paul Bogle did, the Queen of England and the government of England became fearful that people around the world, having heard that, they were going to emulate Paul Bogle.
Right.
And that is what caused a universal transformation for black people. That is how El System came to Jamaica. That is how us.
And so some of it was a little hard to hear, but basically when he talks about the legacy of Paul Bogle and the fear that the British had, the ruling class had of the rebellion being inspirational to others. What do you think about that, and what other comments would you have on that, Dr. Jatta?
Well, that is always the case. You could transpose that to the people in Haiti, you know, Dessalines and Toussaint Louverture and freedom. People that fight for rights throughout the world, even back in the Roman times, even Patrice Lumumba, they don't want you to find the graves of these people that stood up for rights. They want to somehow annihilate all cultural memories and maintain the status quo of the ruling elite. I really think that, and I'm hoping that anybody that has any type of discernment can really look and see how Britain treated people in the world. It's as if this is something that's not even talked about. 50 million people in India, in the British Raj, died from hunger and famine. 50 million. You know, I think we have to flip this and turn this and look at the ruling elite as to the human value that they placed on certain people. Again, after this rebellion in Jamaica, the consensus in England was because of the narrative from the newspapers of what happened there now, Paul Bogle and those people were looked at as if they were demons. They were from another human species. They didn't have the same brain, the same heart. They didn't have the same feeling as the British and the European. When these people, all they needed was a piece of land to farm food. This is amazing to me.
Yes, I remember the info that you shared last week about what the response was when the request was for land to be able to people to feed themselves. So that shows the, you know, sometimes it just seems so global in terms of the freedom fight. It is global. What is this domination thing? What is this thing where you have that feel they can go around the planet? I know it's kind of like a really rhetorical question and a big question, but what is it? You know, we have narrowed down our focus to look at the Morant Bay Rebellion. It is actually a duplicatable event around the planet. There have been many, many freedom fights of oppressed people. So what is it that causes, you know, on a larger level, people to want to dominate other people? Is it just straight greed? Was it the greed of the ruling class in Jamaica, in Morant Bay, for example, where the people that were in the courtroom where all of this arose from weren't given their just because what the fine that was imposed on the man was an unfine? So what is that from a global, from a macrocosmic perspective, this need to dominate and suppress others?
Are you still there?
Yes, that was the end of my question.
Okay. Look at this particular incident now. In the courtroom, the law that they set up, these people have a courtroom. The law that they have with their magistrates sitting there in their wigs, the justice that they administered to the poor man, charging him 12 shillings and sixpence for damages, which probably the man doesn't even have a job because nobody had a job back then. How is he going to pay 12 shillings and sixpence back in? I'd like to know how much that would be now in 1865. The other man that's in the courtroom spoke out against the injustice of the decision of the court. And he was promptly told to lock him up. This is somebody now that's speaking about justice in the court of justice, so-called, and they want to lock up this person. So to me, it's I'm answering the question to you by presenting a situation that any person of thought can draw their own conclusions from this. You know, it's just incredible. The whole thing is based on fear and greed. To maintain your comforts, as we said, Queen Elizabeth, her teeth were black from eating sugar from people working in a cane field in the Caribbean. I don't know if people know what it is to work in a cane field all day chopping cane from sunrise to sunset for the rest of your life to make sugar for the comforts of Britain and Europe. It's just incredible to me.
Yeah, it's most people don't have a clue.
James Jagahand is the man's name that spoke out. Alexander White was found guilty, and they charged him the 12 shillings and sixpence. And James Jagahand spoke out in the court to the magistrate, telling him that that's unjust. These are the people we have to remember, you know, the James Jagahands and the Alexander Whites and the many, many more that we don't even know their names, that stood firm and wanted to establish their human dignity. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. What were you saying?
No, you didn't interrupt at all. At all. I was, you know, I was just acknowledging the contributions and looking at the picture and you and the question, which was, you know, what is the motivation and, you know, for it? And it is greed and power. And, you know, I don't want to belabor that, but what I do want to belabor is the fact that people stood up against it. One thing that I did want to acknowledge also, Dr. Jata, is the fact that how many people were willing to give their lives for these principles, for their freedom. You know, how many people were willing to do that? So at some point, we have to stand for something. And sometimes we are called to have an honorable death because we have to stand for something. We can't always just lie down, you know, to survive. And because, like, what kind of existence is that really if you don't have freedom? You know, if we're shut down, dumbed down, and, you know, we're only and distracted. So from that perspective, I feel like the fight, freedom fight continues because those same principles that I was just asking you about in terms of that domination, et cetera, if we take it into the wider framework, we can see that that's still happening globally. And, you know, as the generations pass, there can be a tendency to forget. So just as you had posed the question on the previous program, how do we make it current for the current, you know, for the current generations? And our guest of the previous program, Dr. Muhammad Abdul-Rahman, you know, talked about it being in the mainstream culture in the form of reggae and, you know, still the stories or fables that are passed from generation that are still being told by grandmothers to grandbabies. But, you know, I know that to be true because you can see that anecdotally as well as, you know, the results of that. However, it seems as if we need another level of passing it on. I was, you know, watching the Tuareg and the Sahara and how in their fight against the French, how they kept a culture. The fight, the freedom fight, was such a huge part of the culture that it gets passed on down to the babies to know that this is our land, you know, from their perspective and whatever their issues are. And they're so willing to give up their lives for their land and principles. And so those seem to be the things that move the power struggle. Everything else is just huffing and puffing, you know. We have to be willing sometime to do what it takes. And as you pointed out, they took all the routes, all the honorable routes by petitioning the government, petitioning the queen, marching. So it wasn't just a bunch of cutthroat terrorist people who were out to kill other people. These people had gone through the whole protocol that had been put in place by their oppressor in honor, you know, in being honorable people. So where do we go from here? Because we're at all, we still have a few minutes, but we go from here. How does this become relevant in 2016?
Again, as the professor said last week, the narrative has to change. And this will be, I think, the job of the generations coming now. They have to be vigilant in seeking out facts, acquiring the proper information they need to rewrite certain things, because what is written now is passed down generationally, even in the school systems. It's passed down from one to the next to the next to the next. That general narrative there that's out there has to change. Number one, again, as a young person coming up now, there's many, many opportunities I see that somebody could get their teeth stuck in and do some valuable work to somehow sort things out and have a more level playing field for people coming. And this is not only for so-called African people. You know, we shouldn't even be thinking of that, because justice and human rights is for all. You know, clearly, if there's one thing that Jamaica has left to the world is get up, stand up for your rights. Don't give up the fight. Life is your right. It's not talking about a particular hue or a particular nationality. These are human values we're talking about. And we need more people who are not of the African race to be galvanizing themselves with this particular movement, because this is what human beings should stand for. So,
Definitely, we need to, you know, this is a global movement. It isn't, and it can't work among just one isolated group of people. So hold that thought. What I wanted us to do also is look at our personal contribution. We're going to take a short break. There's something that I need to share. This is a clip. And then when we return, we want to look at our personal contribution, if we have any, and what is the possibility of actually organizing a trip to the Stony Gut commemoration, the 152nd. So let's listen to this, and then when we come back, let's have that conversation. Join us, 516-387-1741. Or www.blogtalkradio.com/dimensional-healing. I put into the chat room, by the way, the links for all the links I had promised from the previous program for information about this topic, so you can go into the chat room and get that. And you can also email me, Ya Elohim, dimensionalhealing8513@gmail.com for more information about this upcoming topic, that I'm about to play, as well as what we can do as our legacy for the freedom fights globally, specifically Morant Bay Rebellion. Peaceful greetings from Yah Elohim. Thank you. Unity Love Power Show. After a nearly 2-year hiatus as Dimensions of Quantum, we have returned in a new incarnation with a new co-host, Dr. Jata Rahim, and we are increasingly excited about the possibilities for the program. We have approximately 90,000 listeners in live and archived programs. Our listenership is international. Obviously, our listenership is progressive and open-minded when you look at the topics that we discuss and the guests that we feature. We invite you to become a sponsor of our program. Since we are recently returning to broadcasting, we are currently offering at the unheard-of introductory price of $26 per month for a minimum of 8 promotions of your product or service. Broadcast twice weekly, and you will receive one promotion saved one time per program. In addition, we can assist you in the production of your promo for an additional one-time charge of $26 per promotion. In addition to your voice promo, we also provide your logo and a link to your website or social media on our marketing emails. If your business is about promoting itself to an open-minded, critical thinking audience that embraces abundance, then we humbly suggest you become a sponsor. For more information, call or text me, Yah Elohim, at 561-855-0593, or email dimensional healing813@gmail.com. Subject line, sponsor. If you are not familiar with our program, please go to our show page. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/dimensional healing. Also, please check out our website. That's www.thepeoplesclinic4tom.com. That's the People's Clinic, the number 4, T like Tom, O like Oscar, M like Mary, and .com. Thanks for listening, and have a fantastic day. Peace. We definitely had some technical problems with that, but we'll get that worked out and have again. But essentially, we are looking for you to be a sponsor of this program. We reach over 90,000 people. We have over 90,000 listeners over the years of our program. We have many followers, and you will reach our international global audience of critical thinking, open-minded, open-hearted, abundance-embracing individuals. And we're only charging $26 a month, and that's for eight promos. So that's unheard of. Usually costs 10 times that for one promo. So join us at our introductory rate right now, and you can always reach out to me, Yah Elohim, Dimensional Healing, 813@gmail.com. 561-855-0593. So now, because we're coming to the top hour, we wanted to bring Dr. Jatta back, and we wanted to talk about how we bring it together here and now about the Marat Bay Rebellion. How do we bring it to the next generation? Because I heard you say, you know, it's up to the younger generation, but how do we get it to them to be able to transmit it to the next generation and generations subsequent to that?
I think the music will have a lot to do with this again. It's a medium that young people aspire to. Some social conscious performer need to arise, many of them, and dealing with issues like this. That's one way that I can suggest to really keep it on the front page. Mass media is not going to do it because they very rarely represent the heart and soul of the people. They have commercial interests, advertising interests they deal with. If it's not popular, it's not going to be up there. Struggle is never popular. So that's one way that I would recommend. I was just thinking a while ago here that it is said that I'm a physician. And I'm on a show that deals with health primarily. But I'm a human being before what I acquired in thinking processes. And we all have to be human beings first, having a spiritual side to us so that we can see right and see wrong. It brings to mind the attorney in the United States, I can't remember his name, a famous trial that was, I think, in the 30s about what's indecent. And one of the attorneys turned to the other attorney and said, "Describe to me indecency." He says, "I can't, but I know, I feel it in my heart." So human beings, all of us, have to be feeling with our hearts, understanding, putting yourself in another person's shoe, and having some type of compassion. So that's what I would recommend. The music is one part. Changing the narrative is another part that's taught to people. Everybody that's in positions that could make these changes have to be aware of this. If you're in the educational field and you're into policy and books that's bought, you should be gearing up to right the wrongs, have the proper story. You know, we just had Columbus Day here recently. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That.
You know,
that,
the thinking process is off.
Yes, indeed. I think I have. I think that's going to be a good way for us to exit. I think I have Christopher Columbus. I was debating between that and another clip, but I think you answered when you said what you just said. And you know, we were just talking in how you say things. You get an inspiration and moved in your heart, and then you would say. And we had said, well, maybe we should actually participate in that walk coming
up
for the 152nd anniversary. So we have a year to prepare because it's happening now. This is the commemoration, 151st anniversary of the commemoration. I know the UNI is now involved. So we might actually want to seriously consider doing that because it is something tangible that we can do in honor of our ancestors, and we can make a real contribution when we go there and see, you know, the actual place and the actual land that was trod on, the actual chapel, you know, that is quite, as everyone said, that was there on those clips, quite moving, right? Quite moving, quite spiritually powerful. So your closing remarks, Dr. Jatta?
Keep the faith.
Very, you know, very, very true. Amen. This is Yah Elohim, love you to life. I'm going to see if this is Christopher Columbus with Burning Spear. If it ends up not being, then I'm going to go to another clip. Okay, so signing off. If I can get, I can't. All right, I'm having a challenge getting the clip to come up. Okay, here we go.
Jamaica.